On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciples ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down, saw the burial cloth there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloth there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with a burial cloth, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Brothers and sisters, Christ is risen. Alleluia. One of the oldest phrases of Christianity, right? In the first century, we find inscriptions on stone of this phrase, "Christ is risen, alleluia." Thank you for answering. A mom I know told me this story in their family at Easter Mass, really any Mass. They were always experienced adventures. There were six kids, four boys, and they brought plenty of energy to church. And one Easter, one of them was messing around and disturbing the peace a bit. And as sometimes happened, a woman in the pew ahead turned and gave them a quiet, corrective scowl, right? Immediately, one of the boys, out loud for those in the area to hear, asks his mother, "Mom, why did she look so mean at us on Easter?" The mother smiled and said, "She's just struggling to adjust to all our energy." That phrase, "struggling to adjust," instantly became a family classic. A teacher struggled to adjust to one of the girls' creative answers on a test and gave her a D. Right? Or a brother and his girlfriend argued, and then they would just say around the table, "She's just struggling to adjust to his brilliant ideas." Or they all struggled to adjust when mom served a meal they didn't particularly like, right? The line became a fun way of naming those moments when life or people or even themselves had a hard time adjusting to what was going on, right? Today, on this glorious Easter morning, I want to suggest that struggling to adjust can actually be a very good thing. Even a holy thing. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is such a radical, overwhelming reality that it takes time and, yes, struggle for our hearts to adjust to this truth. That God is real. That God loves us. That God forgives us completely. And even when we betray him, he is faithful to us anyhow. Peter references this in the first reading. He says, "They put him to death on a tree, but God raised him on the third day. And of this, we are witnesses." Right? St. Peter stands up boldly, right? And he proclaims the heart of the faith experience that these apostles had. The Greek word kerygma, right? Kerygma, which is kind of the elevator pitch, the core message of Christianity. He summarizes it here in the first reading. "You know what has happened," he tells them, because they are the ones who persecuted him. This is what he says. "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil." Then he says, "Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness through his name." That's the summary. Peter announces that forgiveness, healing, and victory over every darkness that now offends and subjects everyone. That message still stretches to our hearts today. It's what we struggle at times to adjust to. St. John shows us how that struggle began on Easter morning, like while it was still dark, kind of like today, a misty morning. Mary Magdalene, she arrives first at the tomb. Before she met Jesus, remember, she was just as far from God as you could be. The scripture says, possessed by seven demons. Not just one. Seven. Like complete obsession and possession. And Jesus cast them out. He healed her completely, freed her from the devil's power. And like the prodigal daughter, she knew what it meant to be lost and then wonderfully found, right? Her love for Jesus ran deep because she who had sinned much was forgiven much. And now grief draws her to run to the tomb in the morning. She sees the stone rolled away, doesn't dare go in, but immediately runs back to tell Peter and John and the other apostles. Her heart racing to adjust what this might mean. And then Peter follows, the one who had denied him three times. Guilt maybe in his motivation as he runs, mixed with hope as he struggles to adjust to the possibility that Jesus' power and mercy could overcome his betrayal. John, the beloved disciple, runs faster, arrives first, right? He waits respectfully for Peter. All three are drawn urgently toward the tomb because something inside them is already beginning to adjust to this energy, this reality that's bigger than their weakness, bigger than death. What they found, they look inside. What do they see? Scripture tells us the tomb is not chaotic. The burial cloths lie neatly, as if the Greek word there says the body evaporated. The cloths just settled down. The head cloth folded up separately, as if Jesus had calmly left death behind in perfect victory and order. St. John Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, noted centuries ago that no grave robber would have taken the time to fold the clothes so carefully, especially since the myrrh had glued those cloths to the body. John sees these signs and believes. He knows because John prepared the body. He carried it, bloody, wretched, washed it, anointed it, wrapped it in those cloths that he now saw settled down with no body inside. He sees it and believes. St. Gregory the Great reminds us that faith often begins not with complete sight, but with the quiet signs that the risen Lord leaves behind. Mary, Peter, and John all had to struggle in their own way, to adjust their hearts to the astonishing truth, Jesus is risen. And that struggle was good. It opened them to a new life. Brothers and sisters, we all know what it is to struggle, right? To adjust, to change old habits, to form new patterns of thinking, more healthy ones, right? More adjusted to the truth and not to those internal lies that sometimes form our perspective or our reality. They just leave us empty, right? Yet the resurrection invites us to struggle in a holy way, to adjust our hearts to the radical reality that God is real, that he loves us personally, that he forgives us completely, and that he wants to raise us up from everything that would hold us down and keep us bound. If the risen Lord could reach into such darkness, such as that of Mary Magdalene, the one Jesus saved from the demons, then the Lord can reach us no matter where we are, no matter what tomb we're wrapped up in. And we are seeing this happen right now, really in a beautiful way. I'm sure you've been paying attention to the news, and just last night, Easter Vigil, here in this parish, a young woman named Jessica joined the church, right? Praise God. And even down in the city at so many parishes, at the old St. Patrick parish that the Legionaries run there in the city, over 70 young people joined the church last night, many of them rediscovering, you know, that generation of Gen Z Catholics embracing the faith across the country. Numbers up 130%, 120%, 90% all across the country. And you ask yourself, why, right? What are they seeking? Just like Peter and John and Mary Magdalene, they're running because they've discovered something empty. It's not the tomb of Jesus, it's their own hearts, disoriented, struggling. And now their struggles have a whole new focus because they're struggling to adjust to all this energy that they're discovering in Christ and in the faith that orders their reality on solid rock and gives them strength and meaning and purpose. So this Easter, don't run from the struggle to adjust to God's energy, but lean into it with hope. Anything worth having is worth the struggle, right? Like Mary, Peter, and John, like so many new Catholics who join the church this Easter weekend, let the good news draw you closer. And just as that mother recognized that it takes struggle to adjust to the chaotic, transforming energy, let's welcome this new life and let it challenge us. As an old pastor famously said, if you don't have a crying church, you have a dying church. His point was, if you don't have the noise of new life, it's decline. All of us should have some noise as we adjust to the new life of the Lord. It's a sign of growth. So come to the Lord in humility, I hope. Adjust your hearts, your time, your schedule, your habits to this new reality of Christ's resurrection. Come to him in the Eucharist. Let him feed your hearts. Come to him in confession. Let him soothe your heart. Come to him in the Holy Spirit and the anointing of confirmation to transform your life. Let him help you adjust your life to his new, most energetic, glorious reality of the resurrection. Yes, brothers and sisters, that ancient phrase is true. Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. So let's go in peace in the joy of the risen Lord. Amen.